So God is great, God is good. Now, Martin Luther lived between 1483 to 1546. 1483 to 1546, so 60-ish years. Martin Luther created the modern world. Martin Luther created the modern world in 1516. In 1513, he was a doctor of scripture. He got his master's, got his doctorate. And he was an official teacher in the Roman Catholic Church. And he taught at the new University of Wittenberg. And what he taught was, he wanted to make clear the Word of God, because that was his job, that was his task, is you have to teach these young students in their graduate courses, you have to teach them either theology, medicine, or politics, or lawyering, could be a lawyer. Those are the only three things you could be if you wanted to be highly educated. And all three prepared you for all three. So he had a huge following from all over Europe. But it didn't start until 1516. But it really didn't start until 1517. But I'm going to tell you today the experience that changed his life. So the first thing is in 1513 to 1515, he taught on the Psalms. So he lectured to his students on the Psalms so that they had a good understanding of the Latin understanding of the Vulgate. That was it was called the Vulgate from the 4th century. So 1,000 years later, he's handed a book. And this book is going to change his life forever. But before I get there, so he taught for 2 years, 1513 to 1515, he taught on the Psalms. Then in late 1516, he taught on Romans. And so he finished the book of Romans. And during that year, he started in on Galatians. So he's already now finished all the Psalms and all of Romans, and he has a pretty good understanding of the epistle, but he was stumped by some things that Paul said, because the Roman Catholic Church taught, still teaches, that you have to be good in order to go to heaven. And if you're not good, you go to the other place. And so Luther had a conscience, and he had an over-scrupulous conscience. He believed that you didn't out loud a ratio. You have to speak it. You have to tell every sin you've committed, and he was a monk. So he spent hours and hours in front of the confessional. Dan was at my house the other day, and he had to walk past the gate, because in my house there's a screen that prevents you from coming in unless you confess all your sins. And so
he was there for quite a while.
He was, yeah, because we had to get all of them. He had to stay them orally. But anyway, Luther taught on these three books. First of all, the Psalms, 1513 to 1515. Then he got into, in late August 1, on the Book of Romans. And that stumped him. That stumped him because he had an over-scrupulous conscience, and he realized it's not just outward deeds. You have to have it from the heart. And God only will forgive people that are trying to be, really trying hard to be perfect. And so Luther wanted to be perfect because he knew the other place was not good. And he knew that if you didn't try your very, very, very best to be perfect, And they had a lot of mechanisms for that. Take communion, go on pilgrimages, and one of them, become a monk. So he became a monk. And now that he was a monk, he was the teacher of all these people trying to find their way on the good side of God. By the way, that's still the practice today. For Jewish people, for Muslims, for Buddhists, for any religion, Catholics, it's all the deal. You have to behave yourself. Behavioral modification. Every school system is not built on learning facts and figures, doing, you know, arithmetic and so on and so forth. They want you to feel good. They want you to get along with your neighbor. In other words, they're teaching something that only the church could have taught, but it's a lukewarm church, so the lukewarm church is nothing more than a political entity. And so many Christians today are really not Christian at all, have the form of religion, deny the power of it. Anyway, in his day, everyone was religious because the Pope said you had to be or you go to hell. You miss out. And so Luther was, when he celebrated his first communion, he trembled, and it's before Almighty God. And he had what the Germans call Anfechtungen. In other words, he just trembled. I'm before the Almighty God, and he's reading my heart, not just my behavior. I'm not going to make it. And he was an impeccable monk. He did everything you had to do and more. I mean, he did way more than any other monk. And so everyone knew that, and the father confessor said to him, Luther, stop coming in here all the time with these picadillos. Go out and get a real sin and come back here, because you're hung up over, you've done everything right. You're seeking him with all your heart, and you go to communion every day and blah, blah. And you know, you're doing everything you have to do, and you're way more qualified. And he got so tired of Martin Luther coming in. Maybe he'd go 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, 7 hours, and then he'd walk away and feel proud that he'd confessed all his sins. And so he was taught that way, and the whole age was taught that, but they didn't pay attention to it. So he finally said, look, Martin Luther, I want you to go and be I want you to be distracted from all your Anfechtung. I want you to be distracted from that. So I'm going to make you go to school and get a doctorate. And that way you can waste your time reading the Bible instead of coming here and telling me all this stuff. And so Dr. Staupitz, who was the head of the Augustinian monastery there, got him finally to say, you know, this is God speaking to you through me, the Roman Catholic, you know, guy above you. I'm the head of the order, and I'm just telling you, stop what you're doing. You make God out to be angry and mean and nasty. Well, you know what it says in the Bible. If you don't confess every sin out loud and you don't make changes and you don't improve yourself, you go to hell. And I don't want to. So he was scared. We're not scared, are we? No. Because we believe that God is a loving father. Well, it all came from Martin Luther. It was not in Judaism. It was not in Catholicism. It was not in Buddhism. It was not in Muslim. It was not in any religion. You had to behave. You couldn't say, I'm going to try my best. That's not in anybody's religion. You have to be perfected. And you have to go through certain rituals and outward things and so on and so forth to prove that you are serious about God. And this had to be so that otherwise you won't earn merits and get into heaven. And so they all tried to come up with something different. And they disagreed with one another, but they said, well, we're the truth. And the other one said, yeah, we're the truth. And the other one said, we're the truth. And so nobody could figure out what the truth is. But if you lived in Europe, you were a Catholic. Everybody had to be a Catholic. He ended the medieval world. For over 1,000 years, since Constantine, even more than that, more than 1,000 years, that was in the 300s, Constantine made the church and the state one thing called Christendom. Today, Christendom is still alive and well. People believe that that's the way of talking about everyone that's a Christian. It's not. It's a way of getting yourself under a law that says you have to behave or you go to hell. And if you're not perfect, you go to hell. Well, being perfect is hard, even if you're a monk. And Luther was, and he was an impeccable monk. And he knew that. But still, what about my heart? My heart is not knit to God. My heart is not, you know, in love with Jesus. As a matter of fact, I hate him for making all these rules up that I have to follow. And I'm getting guilt on guilt. I mean, I feel guilty that I don't feel guilty. I mean, I sometimes want to sin, but I'm not allowed to. So that's called an over-scrupulous conscience. Don't try so hard. As a matter of fact, the truth now, be known, is that you don't have to do anything. Jesus does it all for you. Well, that no one wanted to hear that. No, you have to do this yourself. This is what you owe God. Well, so he's now teaching. He had gone through Psalms. Now he went through Romans. Now he's into Galatians. And I'm not going to read it, but it's talking all about Paul's understanding of you're saved by faith, not by works of the law. And now Paul used to be a law keeper under the yoke of bondage in the Jewish thing. In fact, he was slated to be the new head guy, and they were grooming him for that job. And so he was on his way. And so he knew everything the Pharisees knew and the Sadducees and so on. He knew it all. He knew philosophy. He knew everything that's going on in his age. And so he's a tent maker. And so he's able to make his way because he did everything you were supposed to do. And he even did one thing that was amazing. He killed Christians and he dragged them out of their house. You know, you're a Christian. You believe in this Jesus. Junk. No, we don't believe in that. We believe you have to earn your way in life. How many know real life is like that? Real life is if you don't show up for work, you don't get paid. If you don't, behave yourself, you know, you don't. You have to do something to prove that you're worthy and serious and trying to behave. A lot of people today are not behaving. A lot of people today, they're lawless. They're anarchists. They're just misbehaving. And any group you're in, you can see it right away. Especially as a Christian, you can see, wow, those people are no good. Not realizing, what about your heart? They don't want to realize that. Don't be judging others. That the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. Whoa, they didn't want to read that verse. So anyway, so Luther now is preaching on this thing. And here's what I want to tell you. Two events happened in 1516. Starting of end of medievalism and the starting of a new world. In fact, the modern world. And the world was doing things. So there are two events that happened during that year. Number one, as he's teaching, Machiavelli had just written the book. He now dominates the world. You don't know it. You have to be highly educated to know this. But Machiavelli divided the world into two parts. He wrote the book To the Prince, who was a Medici, and he's trying to get a job. And so he wrote this book and said, I divide the world into two parts. What ought to be the ideal, and what is the real. So, since that's the case, religion is the ideal. But nobody lives up to it. That's the real. So if you're a businessman, and if you're particularly a politician, you can lie. You can justify doing lots of things. And so he said to the prince, the Medici, this is the way the world really is. Not as it ought to be, but this is the way it really is. People cheat. People lie all the time. And I want to tell you, that's okay. So he okayed that, and that's the way Hillary has made it to the top. That's the way Bill has made it to the top. That's the way people do it now. And so there's a battle going on whether America is a Christian nation or whether it's just a pagan nation. Well, so we're divided. I don't know what the division is, but don't worry about it because we win. So don't really worry about it. You actually are going to be saved and going to heaven and so on and so forth, not because of what you did. So it's not your work under a law. It's just a free gift. It's just totally a free gift. And Luther, studying this thing, this is the other event that happened, that Erasmus, who was not an Italian, but he was from Rotterdam, Holland, and he was the greatest humanist scholar of the day, and he had just published, translated from the Greek, and published his critical edition of the New Testament. So now Luther had never seen anything but the Vulgate. He'd never seen the Greek text ever. But some of his friends who were humanists, they were studying Greek, and he decided he better get the languages because that's what humanists do. Now, he's not a Christian yet. He's just simply a Catholic, just behaving himself. But he has this anfechtung. He has this terror that God is an angry judge if you don't behave. Otherwise, if you behave, he might be. It's possible that you could be perfected because of you got on God's good side because you behaved yourself. But nobody taught what Luther's going about to teach is that Jesus did it all. He did it for you. 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 And since that's the case, that's the Protestant Reformation, he created the modern world. It ended in 1836. So it began in 1516, and then so many centuries later, it ended with the fact that the last patriarch of our founding fathers, James Madison, died in 1836, just before Texas became a republic. And for 9 years, we were a republic until we became part of the United States. So the modern world changed in that moment. It was no longer, it's postmodern now. God either has no role at all or a minimal role, but is no longer honored. It's no longer, God is not the measure of all things. Man is the measure of all things. And people just do what they want, what they feel like. Well, what do you feel like? Well, I feel like doing this. Okay, we'll do it. And that's self-realization. That's self, you're governing yourself in a way that do what other people do or whatever you feel like doing. And everybody's an individual today, so they just do what they want to do. Get married, skip that. Get married again, skip that. Get married again, stop even getting married. Just live with people and, fool around. So the church no longer has a voice in this world. I think Texas is the last great hope for America, because here in Texas we still believe in the Bible. We're the Bible belt. We're the belt of the Bible. So we're the buckle of the belt in the Bible, whatever we are. And so, but we got this from Luther, because he was the greatest of all the reformers. And so he created using these scriptures here in Latin. Because remember, he only had Latin. So the Reformation was built on sola scriptura, only scripture, sola gratia, only grace, solus Christus, only Christ, sola fide, only faith. And he ended it up with soli Deo gloria. So, sola scriptura, sola gratia, solus Christus, sola fide, only faith. Only faith can save you. So you have faith that God did something. And so how did he come to this? Now he had Erasmus's copy of the Greek New Testament. How he came to it? Easy. He began to study and read this Bible in Greek, and it disagreed with the Latin. The Latin said these words right here, penitentiam agite, do penance. So it's something you do. So they felt you couldn't do it unless you did it. You had to do it. You can't just believe in it. You have to do it. You can't just say, I'm a Christian because you read the Bible. You have to do it. You'd prove it. Probate this will. Probate this thing. And you have to do it. If you don't do it, no one's going to do it for you. But Luther read that, and he read that in the Bible where it says, the just shall live by faith, back in Romans, verse 16, 1:16. But do penance is not the same thing as believe on Jesus. Believe on Jesus is kind of easy because it's passive. You don't do anything. He does everything for you. He creates you, then he redeems you, then he justifies you, sanctifies you, glorifies you. Man, he just does it all, and you don't do one lick of work. I don't know, for some reason, I really like that. I like that idea. That's great that God does everything for you, on your behalf. For you, Karen. For you, Dan. And I know you don't deserve it. Yeah, I know that. I don't think Sam either does. Really. And Willis. No, there's no way. No way. Ah, Tim. Oh, my gosh. Raul. So, we have a poor showing here. You're all right. Don't worry about it. You're all right because you believe in Jesus. You believe that Jesus is a loving Father, never has been an angry judge. Amen. We're not even going to mention Alex. We're not even going to mention Alex. Because he readily confesses. What about Jacob? Jacob, are you perfect? Are you close to it? Are you even working on it? You see, he needs a free gift. He doesn't want to just, you know, rely on God's grace and mercy. No, don't let Jesus do it like that. I don't even deserve it. Let me earn it. Let me earn it. And so Luther had to defeat that idea of the Catholics. And to do that, it's going to mess up. Well, first of all, Luther will be declared a heretic, and then he'll be a outlaw in the state. And anyone that sees him could kill him. It's the law. Any citizen, anybody can kill him just on the spot. And then we'll give a reward even for that. Wow. So, wow. This Luther is like taking his life in his hands. But when he understood the gospel, he wasn't worried. His Anfechtungen disappeared. His terror of God disappeared. Since God is not an angry judge, but a loving Father, I don't have anything to worry about. So that changed and made the modern world. You would not have capitalism. You would not have individuals. You would not have anything that we have today. Nations, you would not have it. They would all be gone. Today, the collective replaces the individual. Today, mercantilism, empire building, replaces free enterprise. Today, everything has been changed. The social status, there would only be kings over priests, over people, over, you know, and everybody's in ranking. You have to know your rank, who you are, what kind of family background you have. You have to earn your way. And the nobles of the land were used to noblesse oblige. Noblesse oblige means if you're you don't work, you don't work because you're rich enough that you have leisure time to do politics or be a priest or whatever. Those people, they just their job puts them as the lords of the realm. They're the ones that rule. Noblesse oblige, and as you just do it without pay. George Washington never took any pay, and nobody did. You just serve because that's your rank, and all the poor people can't get in on this thing. And so everything has changed. Martin Luther messed the world up, and people, I mean, they just never got over it. Because this includes all the way from Luther's day, 16th century, 17th century, 18th century, and that's when America was born, and then 19th century. And it stopped at the one-third of the 19th century, 1836, when Texas was created. And now we're the only ones holding up America. America is the only hope of all humanity. You can't have any other nation in the world that can do it like we can. We're the most powerful. That was created by Martin Luther. And now we're about to give it all away and go back to go back to Machiavelli. That what is, that is real. But, I mean, people say these words, but they don't mean them. Then they'd actually just lie, cheat, and steal. But what ought to be, then you'd be a pastor. So I'm a pastor because I'm going by what ought to be. But I believe what ought to be is real. I actually believe that's not ideal. That's real. What ought to be, and so there's a war going on, and I should lose. I should lose because I'm in a super, super, super minority. And you have no one as a Christian that's going to back you up except God. And he seems to be silent these days. He doesn't seem to do too many miracles. He does a few here and there. But over the years, I have discovered I'm going to live by the Bible. Sola Scriptura. Sola Gratia. Solus Christus. Sola Fide. Soli Deo Gloria. That's me now. That's me. I don't care. I don't really care about living or dying. I'm not interested in that. I'm only interested in one thing. Does God lie? Does God tell the truth? That truth has set me free. So all my brilliance and all my greatness and glory and majesty and so on is all poop. It's just nothing. It just falls flat. Now the only thing is, Jesus can't lie. I just rely on that. That's my whole reliance, Tim. I don't care about people around me. I don't care about communicating or doing anything except live this truth and teach it. That God is a loving Father. And Jesus Christ is your only righteousness. Whatever you do won't get you to heaven. Whatever your reason says won't get you to heaven. Whatever your conscience says won't get you to heaven. The only thing that gets you to heaven, believe that Jesus Christ is your life. That I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Wow. That's me. That's me. Why? Because it's not up to me. Jesus does it all. He created me. Now he's redeeming me. Now he's saving me. And it's all that threefold, four, five, and six chairs and all that stuff. He does all that. And I just celebrate. Every day is happy for me. Every day I'm smiling. I don't worry about, you know, anything. So because of that, like you might notice, my body kind of leans this way about 30 degrees or something like that. That's because I'm, you know, crippled and so on and so forth. But I don't really pay attention to it. Why? Because I don't really care. I know God is good, and I know something will come up, miracle or whatever. And I believe in miracles. So I'm not really worried about healing myself or doing anything else. I'm not running after miracles or whatever. But I just believe, it'll work out. Jesus, he likes me free, and so on and so forth. So I'm happy as can be. Why? Because it's in my heart. My behavior? I don't pay attention to behavior. Behavior is just behavior. Now, that means your body is important. Because with my body, I love my neighbor as myself. That's important to me. So if you get religion right, you get everything else right. You got to get a new heart. Starts with a new heart. Then you got to get a new soul. Then a new soul. And then you got to get a new body. Well, someday we'll get that. We'll see it. But today, you get it from now again. But you can be sick, but you can be well. And you know, so all this stuff. So what I'm saying to you is if you're a Christian, you're not really worried about this world. Because God never lies. He never lies. Let God be true. Every man a liar. So that means even if I lied, I can still go to heaven. Even if I did wrong, I can still go to heaven. Because I'm not going to rely on my goodness. I'm going to rely on His. Because He's perfect. And whatever He did was perfect. Now, do you all see what Martin Luther did? He messed up, ended the medieval world. And he ended Machiavelli. And he ended, you know, Erasmus, too. He had, of all my books, save that one about Erasmus, because he's wrong. Because Erasmus didn't want to do what is and ought. He just wanted to stay Roman Catholic, but he criticized it all the time. And so, but he wanted to stay Roman Catholic. So he's just a humanistic thing. One wants to change it. One doesn't want to change it. What's the difference? It's all human. So man can do nothing. And he said, oh, man is free to do good. And Luther said, no, he's not. He can do anything else but that. In other words, you can't be good enough to go to heaven. The only way you can go to heaven is a gift. The only way you can go to heaven, this is real. Real is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That gospel is God did it for you. Now he's doing it in you. Then he'll do it through you. And you get all the glory. Amen?
Amen.
That's why people hate what I teach. Why? That's going all the way back to Luther. He was right. God has never been an angry judge. Never will be. Never has been. Can't. It's impossible. God is good. God is good. God is good. Old Testament, New Testament, God is good. So since he's benevolent and always on my side, I'm never worried about anything. Do you all understand what I'm saying? I'm just not worried about anything because I know everything's going to work out for my blessing. And as a matter of fact, no one will be ahead of me and no one will be behind me. I'm not really worried about anything. I'm not worried about the bad guys winning. They can win all they want to, they never will. It'll never be finished. So whether Hillary ends up in jail or free, I don't really care. I don't have any malice toward her at all. She's ignorant, and she depends upon me being a Christian. So we Christians are going to win, because we're the light, we're the salt, we're the dwelling place of the living God, and nobody else is. Nobody else is, only Christians. All other religions are nothing. They're idle. Idols, idols, idols. What is that? Nothing, nothing, nothing. And they're nothing. They're just made up. They're just made up of some ancestor, a stick or a stone or something or other. So what? They give you laws that you have to live by. Hey, this is allowed, this is not allowed. This is law, that's lawless. Okay. I don't follow those. I just follow the gospel. I like the gospel. It corrects the law and said, don't go by the law, go by the gospel. It's a correction. So even if I sin, I'm still forgiven. And I do. I sin on a daily basis. I try, anyway. I try my best to sin on a daily basis because it humbles me. No, it doesn't. Sinning doesn't pay. I found out sinning doesn't pay. Do what's right, not because it works. Just do what's right. Just do it. How'd you do it? I didn't. Jesus in me did it. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He learned that from the Bible. Now, I want to read what he wrote here in his, this is his own words. These words are in here. He knew that the word justitia dei, it's not here. He knew that the word justice, it could be that the judge is an angry judge, and because he's righteous, he condemns you because you are sinful, wicked, no good. So he throws the book at you. In other words, to the full extent of the law, 20 years are allowed, you get 20. 100 years, get 100. Some of the judges are kind of fierce like that, and they don't have any mercy in them. Or it could mean justification by faith. Same word, justitia Dei, the justice of God, could have either meaning. And according to the New Testament, it had the latter meaning, that God justifies the ungodly. If you've been ungodly, has anyone been ungodly? Yeah, don't raise your hand, but you've been ungodly. If you've been ungodly, there's hope for you. It can be corrected. After you've sinned, he still forgives your sin and has Jesus come down and pay for your sin. And when Jesus dies, you died. When Jesus rose, you rose. When Jesus reigns, you reign. And the second time when he comes back, he'll take us home. Because all those that believe are saved. And anyone that's trying to behave themselves are not. Now, he didn't do that for you. That's your own choice. There is free will after you hear the gospel. In other words, a promise is made because it's not a command. A promise is made because it's not a command. The promise is made. Here it is. Jesus is your righteousness. You believe that? You're saved. Could I ask it? No. You either believe it or you don't. Because your heart rose right away. Hey, that sounds like good news. When you hear that the gospel is all good news, 100% good news, and it's all on your side. God wants nothing. He doesn't want to sacrifice from you. He doesn't want you to behave yourself. He doesn't want you to be good, because you're not. And his standard is complete holiness. How do you get that? He changed the definition of holiness. Holiness now means you believe on Jesus, that he is holy for you. He's not holy to condemn you. He's holy for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. You know, that is so anti-Catholic. That's not Catholic. That everyone knows. I mean, you should know it's by faith, but actually a lot of people just do what they do. And they just believe the church aren't even interested in what they really do. They're just interested. Do you believe in the... Yeah, I believe everything you said. But they don't. They actually live just the way they want to. And so the lukewarm church is not able to convince anybody of anything, because it's lukewarm. You love Jesus, but you also love this world. You try to be Jesus plus. And every Christian does it. They sin all over the place, but they don't even confess those. It's not even bothersome, because we don't have any confessional booth thing that you go into. And so what they do is completely just what everyone else does. Everyone else is a Methodist. They do it this way. They just do it that way. And so on and so forth. So they just join churches for no reason at all, just like, you know, is this a big one or a small one? Or, you know, they don't really care about the doctrines. They don't even look into them. They have no anfechtung. They're not terrorized by the living God. Amen? Now, I've never been terrorized by the living God because I was a pagan. I mean, total 100% pagan. And I'd never been terrorized because I just did what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it. And I had no fear at all of religion. I mean, religion was not even part of my life. I had never gone to church until my third father, Adolf Hitler, when he then told me, we're going to take you to school. It's like, ooh, God, what is that? And, you know, my first experience, I've already told you, I experienced that people were hypocrites. And so the end of that. You know, I'll go through the motions because I have to. But, you know, I'm not even going to... I cheated and all that stuff. And so, you know, I passed. And, you know, now I was a Christian. And that was so silly because I knew I'm lying. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of the heaven and the earth? I have to say yes, or otherwise, you know, my parents will beat me. And so, yeah, yes, I do. And that's all. You just have to say yes. And do you believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God? You know, yes. Do you believe in the Holy Ghost? Blah, 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 blah. Yes. You're a Christian. So, and then one of the things you got after that, we had all white robes on. One of the things you got was a little a purple flower thing, a little, everyone had a little bitty thing, you know, and you held that up and then they took your picture. Now I'm a Christian. And so I have that photograph still. I have that photograph. I was a Christian. I was confirmed that day. And so I went through all the rigmarole, and I went through it, but I didn't believe a word of it. And the thought passed my mind as I was doing it, what if I say no? Because that's what I want to say. Because I don't believe, this is all baloney. There's no God. He's not done anything for me. I have no idea what the guy does. And I just studied it for 2 years. It had no meaning at all. I just hated this. That on Saturday morning, which you have to go on Saturday morning, they have Flash Gordon on television. And television had just come out recently. And we had one of those 5-inch circles. 5 inches, that was all. And I hated to miss Flash Gordon because he was doing the universe and stuff. It's like, whoa, I want to see that. I mean, it's completely artificial if you've ever seen one. It's worthless because we're sophisticated today. But, you know, in those days, we weren't sophisticated. We never saw outer space, but this guy had a little craft and then he went up in and drove around the universe and stuff. God, I hate to miss that. So I had to do it. So it cost me a lot to go to that, do what my father said. And he weighed 250 pounds or whatever, and he could beat the tar out of me, and he did. He did regularly. So whenever I didn't do one of my chores, you got demerits and so on and so forth, and he beat you then after that. So it's like, ugh, I hate that. You know, I hate the beating stuff. Not that it's so painful. It's just I don't want it. I don't want that thing. But if you even wiggled, you got spanked twice. So, ooh, I'm not going to spank. I'll just, you know, whatever. Just endure it. And so on and so forth. So none of, religion was not real to me. But telling that to people, it made you odd and weird. So I didn't tell anybody. I just don't believe in this stuff, but I go through the motions. But it's not real to me. Now, did anyone here, you don't have to answer, but did anyone here grow up that way where religion was not everyday real, you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself and so on and so forth? Is anyone here that didn't do that all the time? That's right. You know, so then you go to hell. I mean, if you're a Catholic or if you're, you know, but if Protestants, you can go, hey, go with the faith thing, go with the faith. But it had no meaning to me at all because I just did what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it. And then no one caught me. No one caught me. And so and I knew Christians had to forgive you. So once I stole a lot of stuff and they caught me. And then I said, well, this is a Christian church school I'm going to. And so if you just cry and, you know, look like you're sincere, oh, God, I'm sorry, you know, they'll let you off the hook because they have to. I mean, that's part of their deal. They have to forgive you. And so I did it. And I was, not only did I not go to jail or have to pay a fine or get kicked out of school, I kept my job where I stole all, everything. I mean, as... And it was like, these people are so naive. They actually believe I'm a Christian when I'm not. But it just, because it just took me 3 seconds. Oh, God, I'm sorry. That's on. I was a play actor. I was always a play actor with my family, with everybody I knew. Because I didn't love anybody and I didn't want anyone to love me. Just, phooey, stick to yourself. It's every man for himself. Dog eat dog. That was my philosophy. But Luther messed things up because my third father was a Lutheran. The other two were bums. But my third father was a Lutheran, but he was a hypocrite. So he introduced us to all this, and I'm trying to understand it, and it doesn't make any sense to me. But one thing I know is they do forgive you when you do wrong. And I know I'll do wrong because I'm just that way. I look innocent. Do I not look innocent? I do not look like a criminal and so on and so forth. I don't. I do not look criminal. As a matter of fact, I'm a nice young man and hardworking and industrious and so on and so forth. But I cheated on everything I did and so on. No one knew it because people aren't observant like I was. You know, as I thought, everyone, they actually cheated too, but they didn't want to let on. And so I didn't expose them, because if they don't tell on me, I don't tell on them. It all works out good. But at a certain point, I decided, hey, I want to go all the way with Jesus. Now, when I did, this meant something to me, because I didn't believe that religion was real. So I was married to Peggy, and we went to church, but I actually took out of the offering rather than took into it. I'd click the bottom of the plate as I'm reaching in, pretending like I'm putting money into it. But I'm actually taking money out of it, because I know if I do move on in this religious thing, they'd probably give me a scholarship or something. I just might as well take some today because I need it right now. And so I justified everything that I did. And nobody ever knew it. Peggy didn't know it, because I'm just clicking like I'm putting something in. I'm actually taking something out. So, do y'all see what I'm saying? If you are a sinner, you're not like I was openly about it, even though I hid it from other people, because they judge you. And Peggy, she had morals and wanted to do it right and go to church and so on. One day she said to me, "Well, you gotta believe in Jesus." So it's like, it's a joke. I don't gotta do anything. I just need to be me. I'm just gonna be me. And so I just do what I want to do. Now, I don't want you to know where you are, because I don't really care, because you're saved by grace. You're saved by love of God. His loving kindness has saved you.
Amen.
And we named our oldest daughter Kara, which is grace, favor. God just does it. You don't even have to pray. He just does it for you. He just, that's how much he loves you. Did you know that God rains on the just and the unjust? I mean, Hillary's obviously makes millions of dollars. And all cheated and so on and so forth, lying and killing people or whatever. And so what? So what? Who cares? Because all the people, she's paid off and whatever, and police chiefs, and you can pay anybody off. Because people are easily bribed. But when I became a Christian, it was night and day. Because I didn't believe just because I read it or understood it. I believed because I had total, miraculous understanding Jesus is God. I remember exactly where I was, how that happened, and it was a miracle because I had no faith in God at all. But all of a sudden, I said, I got to be a Christian, and I got to be a pastor, and I got to go all the way. I mean, 100%. No lying, no cheating, no stealing, no anything. I got to serve God. I don't have to, I want to. I don't have to, I want to. And then God said to me, now, as Christ loved the church, so every man love his wife. I said, don't give me that one, God. That one, I'm not so good on that one, because she knows all my bad stuff. Do I have to love her like that, perfectly? Not because I have to, because you want to. And then God gave me this for my mom. Romans 5:5. You know what it says? It says that the love of God has been spread in our heart